The reason we show videos like that is one of our core values is believing, and so it's important for us to have a knowledge of God's word and a deep knowledge, and sometimes we can just get caught up in what's going on around us and caught up in all the chatter. And so I think at the core of racism, the old term is wrong. I think we're all one race. I believe that with all my heart. I think you do too. And so if we are one race, then we love each other because we're brothers and sisters. Amen? Amen. No matter what color our skin is, we love each other. And that's what we're about at Vive Church. Such a tender subject, isn't it? In our culture. Everybody's really quiet. They're like, I ain't saying amen. Hey, if you've ever traveled with children, on long trips, you've heard the words, are we there yet? Yeah. And you probably remember those trips, right? We had a large family growing up. There were six of us kids, and we didn't take many road trips just because of that. First of all, they didn't have minivans back then, but we did have a station wagon, and I remember how we would all cram in the station wagon, and there were no such thing as seatbelt laws and all that, you know, just craziness, But we would always, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And I know even now when I travel, you know, when I get to certain points, especially coming from Florida, if I go visit my family and I'm coming up and I hit I-26 off of 95, I just feel like I'm almost there, right? I'm almost home. It's kind of the home stretch. And we're always looking for signs. We're always wondering, are we there yet? And so it brings us to the first message in this series. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine. If you came in, there's a card on the seat, and take that card. It's an invite card. Invite somebody to church. Invite someone to hear the messages, and I believe God will do something in their life if you'll take that step of faith and trust and be bold and just give that out to someone. But so today's the first message in our series. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine. I want to focus really over the next 4 weeks on the I feel fine part. Not so much on the end of the world as we know it, although we'll talk about it. We'll get into that. But I really want to focus on the I feel fine part because I believe as the church, I believe as Christians, as followers of Jesus, that we're different. There's something different about us. We actually understand how this thing's going to end, right? The Bible is very clear. In Genesis, the Bible's very specific, very clear on how all this thing started, how God started it. And in Revelation and other places, he's very clear on how it's going to end. And so we know the story. We know what's going to happen. Sometimes, though, we get caught up in what's going on around us. Sometimes we get caught up in the fear. And we'll talk about that. But my prayer and my purpose for this message series is not to get into end time stuff, although we will, you know, and many books have been written on it. There are way more smarter people than I am that will teach on it. If you want to get some really great teaching, go online, listen to all those end time teachers. I'm not one of them, okay? So I'm not going to get deep into all that stuff, but I am going to, we're going to focus on how we're supposed to respond. Can we do that? All right, so let's have some fun as we get into it. There was a Matthew chapter 24. Jesus had this dialogue with his followers, his disciples, and it goes something like this. Chapter 24, verse 1. Jesus left the temple and he was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Magnificent, beautiful buildings. And in verse 2, he said, do you see all these things, he asked? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. Now to his disciples, wow. Like they're saying, hey, Jesus, oh man, isn't the temple beautiful? Wow, look at it. This is Solomon's temple. Look, I mean, he didn't spare any expense. It is just the craftsmanship. It's just amazing. And Jesus just throws a wet blanket on all of their awe moment and says, hey, every one of these stones is going to be like cast down. This thing's going to be destroyed. Wow. And so he walks off just like in Jesus style. You know, he would kind of drop the mic and walk off. And as verse 3, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? When will we get there? Give us the inside scoop, Jesus. What are the things we should look for so that we kind of know what's happening? We have a little bit of an edge on maybe some other people, and we can kind of be a little more prepared. Let us know. How's this thing going to end?" I think as we get into this list that Jesus shares, one of the most significant signs in our lifetime, and I'm just bringing this up, and it's not what Jesus says in this passage, but it's mentioned other places. But one of the most significant signs in our lifetime, and most people probably don't realize this, I think younger people definitely don't realize this, is the nation of Israel. Sign of the end times is the nation of Israel. How's that? Is that God made a promise to a person named Abraham back in Genesis. And he promised Abraham that he would enter into this land that he had specifically for him. We could refer to it as the promised land. And then again, in Exodus, he refers to that promised land to Moses. And Moses leads the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. Genesis 12, 1 through 3, I don't think the verse is up there, but just trust me, it's God's word I'm reading. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, go to the land I'll show you." This is the promise he makes. "I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those," this is important, "I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse." This is God's promise to Abram. "I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." It's an important promise. And if you're ever wondering, why is it that Christians, you know, make a big deal about Israel? This is why, because those who bless Israel will be blessed. Why is it so important for the United States to have a great relationship with Israel? I believe that the blessing of this country has a lot to do with how we bless the nation of Israel. And so then God rescues the children of Israel out of Egypt, we all referred to. And then in Amos chapter 9, real quick, he says, I will bring back my exiled people, Israel. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land that I've given them, says the Lord your God. This was a promise that God made through the prophet Amos to the nation of Israel, that they would never be uprooted again, and we're living in that day. Ezekiel 37, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Oh, my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I'll put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I've done it, declares the Lord." And so God's continually making promises to the nation of Israel that he's going to restore them. Now, if you know history at all, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, were scattered around 70 AD. The Israel, you know, the folks, Jewish people, were scattered all over the world and continued to be. And there was persecution that happened, and there was wonder probably from them. Would we ever receive the promise that God had for us? And in 1947, way before me, and probably way before you, except for Bob. I think he was around then. I'm just playing, Bob. Where are you? Give me a shout. He's out. But in 1947, within 20... There he is. Actually, 1948, sorry. May 14th, 1948, Israel, in one day, Israel became a nation again. That's a huge deal. See, wars usually produce countries, But instead, Israel becoming a country actually produced a war. This is labor pains after the birth. Does that make sense? Well, Isaiah 66, God prophesied, before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains come upon her, she delivers a son. Who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such things? Can a country be born in a day, or a nation be brought forth in a moment? God's promises being fulfilled. And so one of the biggest signs that things are coming to an end is the nation of Israel. Listen to me. Keep your eye on Israel. I'm just saying, you know, if you're watching the news, which for now, but keep your eye on Israel, because whatever goes on with Israel has a direct effect on what God's doing. I really believe that. So Jesus answered. He answered in his disciples because they're curious. They want to know, you know, what's the inside scoop? What are the signs? How do we know to be ready? How do we prepare? In verse 4, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you." Now I'm going to come back to this later in the series, but watch out that no one deceives you, because I believe what's more important than anything else, and all the things that maybe make people scared when you talk about the end times, I think our greatest thing that we need to fear is deception. It's the greatest thing that we need to fear. And so we'll talk about that, like I said, a few weeks from now. But in verse 5, he says, "For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many." So he starts to go through this list, and I'm going to go through some of these signs, and we're going to talk about some of them real quick. But some of the signs, some of the things that are going to happen, he says, there are going to be many people who claim to be the Christ. Now, you're going to hear just a little bit, he also mentions false prophets. So there's false prophets, and there's false Christs. False prophets are anyone who teaches what is contrary to the Word of God. That's a false prophet. A false Christ is anyone that offers their way of salvation instead of the way of Jesus. And so Jesus says, listen, there are going to be people that come in my name. There are going to be people who but they're going to claim to be the Christ. They're going to claim to be the one who offers salvation. That's a sign that the end is near. Now, there are over 1.8 billion Muslims in the world, over 1.2 billion Hindus in the world, and over 500 million Buddhists in the world, not to mention all of the other groups that are just maybe in the millions. There are a lot of people, a lot of ways, and when you listen to popular culture, you'll hear, you know, there's all kinds of ways to God. You know, as a pastor, I tend to get in these conversations a lot. That's why I usually don't tell people I'm a pastor, believe it or not. I just kind of let them do their thing. And then when they say, "What do you do?" I'm a pastor. "Oh, praise the Lord, brother." He's like, it's like, please. Yeah, come on, man. But I love that because they just don't expect it. But you talk to people and you get into conversations, and people, you know, people are spiritual now. That's the thing. We're big on being spiritual, but we're not religious, which I get that. I kind of understand where you're coming. I don't like religion either. I don't think Jesus really liked religion. But I don't know what everyone's talking about spiritual. And there's a lot of ways, it seems like, to God. But Jesus was very, very specific. He said, there's only one way. You can call Jesus narrow-minded, but he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He said it. Now, when every other religion, no religion in the world really denies the existence of Jesus. They all want Jesus on their bandwagon, but they don't claim him as the only way to the Father. And that's a claim that he made. So verse 5, you know, Jesus said there's going to be false Christ. There's going to be people who say, you know, come my way. I offer salvation. Verse 6, you're going to hear about wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation is going to rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Now, I know, you know, it depends on how old you are and how many wars you've experienced, but there are, in the last 100 years, I did a little research, in the last 100 years, there was approximately, and still are wars going on, approximately 200 wars and conflicts around the world in the last 100 years. And an estimated 300 million, I don't even know how they can figure it all out, 300 million deaths because of the wars that we've experienced. In the last 100 years, remember when Jesus said these things, it was around 2,000 years ago. But in the last 100 years, we have seen all these wars, all these deaths, and we've just invented new ways of killing people quicker and killing more people faster, and it's only getting worse, right? He says there's going to be famines and earthquakes in various places. Did a little research on that too. You know, yesterday there were 44 earthquakes around the world. It's like, wow, I didn't feel any, you know. But around the world there were 44 earthquakes. And I don't know if you caught this, Friday there was a 7.0 earthquake on the coast of Turkey. Things are happening. Now, there's always been earthquakes. Luke 21:11 says there will be great earthquakes, famines, pestilences in various places, fearful events, great signs from the heaven. This is another place where Jesus is talking about signs. In 1968, there was something that was called the Hong Kong flu that killed 1 million people. And since, I don't know if this is a crazy number, that since 1981, 36 million people have died from HIV. I didn't realize it was that many. This is from World Health Organization. And then we have the COVID today. Things are going on. There's sicknesses. There's disease. What's really interesting, when I just said, a lot of things come out of Asia. I'm just saying. There's a lot of, you know, it's like, what's up with that? But there's sickness that is increasing. And we're in the middle of it. We're right there. And it's changed our world. Jesus goes on to say, he says, all these things are just the beginning of birth pains. And so this is another sign. Sign number four is birth pains. And if you've ever been pregnant, given birth, you know those birth pains, they increase in frequency, right? As you're about to give birth to your child, they become more and more, one after another. And so it's a sign that all the things that are happening, there's like, I know that there's always been things going on around our world, but there's just the frequency has picked up, right? It's like the tempo has changed and it's gotten more. And then Jesus goes on to say, we're just talking about signs. He's saying, here's the things that are happening, gonna happen. Verse 9, he says, then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. Now, this is where it starts to get a little tough for us, right? Because I don't know, you know, my personality, I like to be liked by people. Does anybody not like to be liked? I like to be liked. I need to be liked. That's my personality. I just, you know, that's why I'm, you know, hey, let's all get along. And so to the fact that there's persecution, the fact that somebody's going to hate me, I'm not cool with that. I don't like that. What do I need to do to fix that? But you're going to be hated because of Jesus. What do I do? Do I kind of tone down my Jesus rhetoric a little bit? Do I kind of just be careful not to, you know, offend people by my Jesus talk? What's going to happen? How do we handle the situation when people are going to hate you because of Jesus? They're not going to hate you because of you. They don't really care about who you are, but they're going to hate you because of Jesus. This is just another sign. You know, around the world, we live in a pretty isolated culture. You know, I know we're going through a lot of stuff, but we live in a pretty isolated culture. We don't really understand that there are people around the world every day, yesterday, this morning, people are dying because of their faith. Not because of the political party they're a part of. They're dying because of their faith. They're dying because of Jesus. And that's happening all around us, all around the world. You think, no, not in our day and time. Yeah, it happens. And Jesus said, this is going to happen. This is part of it. This is... Verse 10. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Remember, false prophets are those who teach something contrary to the Word of God. And the crazy thing is that most of the time, and probably all, if not most, is that it's at least masqueraded as the Word of God. And so that's where we'll talk about deception later on in the series. But people will turn away from the faith. Because there's something, you know, we've got to make a decision, and this is what we talked about during worship, is that God is preparing us. He's getting us ready. We are the bride of Christ, and he's preparing us. See, our hearts easily get attached to so many other things. I just want to be honest with you this morning. I don't like this message. I don't like things that might cause fear to grip someone's heart, or even my own heart. I don't like the idea of persecution. I don't like the idea of death because of Jesus. That doesn't thrill my soul at all, okay? Just being honest with you. And the person who's like, I'll die for Jesus, you're crazy, okay? Would I? Yes. Would I run into the fire like that? Probably not. I don't think most people would. But this is Jesus is talking. He's saying these are the signs. This is things are going to happen. Things are going to start to ramp up. I want you to be aware of it. I want you to realize things are happening. And the stage is being set. The world is changing. And I'm coming back. He's coming back for us. People will turn away from the faith. I have a lot of friends who are pastors, obviously, and some of them pastor very large churches. And I've talked to them a lot lately with everything that's going on with COVID. You know, COVID has changed our world, but it's changed the church as part of the world too, right? It's changed... how people are involved in church. And I've got friends who pastor very large churches where they're saying that we don't even have 25% of our congregation back yet. These are thousands of people that, you know, I mean, they were running 5,000 on a Sunday morning and now they're not even running 1,000. And it's been like that. And they're thinking, this is the new norm. Our church just shrunk from 5,000 people to 1,000 people. We saw a decrease. We saw people. And there's different reasons why people don't come to church. I get it. But here's what I'm seeing is that a lot of people are just opting out. At first it was... I'll probably lose some people on YouTube or Facebook. No, probably not. At first, though, it was kind of a novel thing, watching church online, gathering the family around, and the novelty's worn off. As much as we would love as pastors to think that, hey, everybody at home is, or everybody that's not here is at home watching, huddled around the TV, enjoying service together, it ain't happening. Can we be honest? The church is changing. Now, I'm talking about American church predominantly, but it's happening around the world too, in large numbers. And so people are going to fall away from the faith. This is where you and I have to make a decision. Where do we go with our faith? And I don't believe that just because you're in the building that you have active faith. I'm not saying that that's the case. But what's going on with people's faith? What's going on with their relationship with the Lord? People will walk away from their faith. They'll turn away from it, Jesus said. And they'll betray and they'll hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many. So there will be an increase, Jesus said, an increase in wickedness. Verse 36, that same passage further down says, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. Verse 39, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That's how it'll be at the coming of the Son of Man. So there's going to be this increase in wickedness. We see things going on around our world. We see things happening. And listen, again, the reason for this message series, some of you are like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Don't. That's not, we're going to focus on, I feel fine. All right? I know I talked with Sarah. She's like, I don't do the I feel fine part because I know. She's like, I really struggle with the I feel fine because everything's falling apart. And, you know, we're talking about the end times. Why can we say I feel fine? It's because we're followers of Jesus. We know what the end is. We know the end of the story. We know how it's going to end. We don't have to be surprised. We don't have to wonder. But we got to live like the end is near. Amen. We have to live like the end is near. Some of you don't know this, but I'll share more some other time, but we're selling our house. And so we are, you know, if you've ever sold a house and lived in it at the same time, you know, you have to make sure that you don't leave your underwear on the floor. You know, I keep telling Robin that all the time. I'm just kidding. I'm just playing. Are you allowed to talk about underwear in church? I don't know. Anyway, so, you can't leave clutter. I'm a slug. My daughter gets it, honestly. I leave a trail everywhere I go, and it drives her nuts. She's constantly like, pick up your crap. And she puts it all in one place, and it's a big pile, and then it's a mess because I have it sorted. My little slug trail is there. But when you're showing the house, you know, and you got, hey, somebody's coming to look at the house. So he's like, oh, you know, I got to put everything away. I can't, you know, there's a rocking chair in our bedroom, and it collects my clothes. It's my clothes hanger. And it's all folded. Robin folds it for me. Some of you are like, you are a lazy. No, but she folds it, and it sits there. She's like, can you just at least put it away? You know, I folded it. I washed it. Can you put? And so I'm like, why? It's easy to access right there, so I can just. So anyway, but I can't do that anymore. It drives me nuts. You know, I'm like, I go to, you know, anyway, I see it there and I'm like, oh, I guess I got to put my clothes away. So we were doing that this morning. We're like, we called it ridden up when I was growing up. I don't know if you ever heard that term, but just putting stuff away. And so listen, we have to live our lives like the end is near. We got to live our lives with an understanding that Jesus is coming back soon. Now, I don't know if you're pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, if you're into all that stuff, and I get it, we can get into long, deep conversations about theology. My thing is, live like the end is near. If we live like the end is near, it changes everything. It changes everything. It changes how we see life. It changes how we treat people, right? Live like the end is near. Live like he's going to show up. Jesus even gave a parable, a story about that. About that thief that comes in the night. You never know when they're going to show up. You never know when somebody's going to come look at the house. You never know when God's going to say, hey, listen, I'm ready. I'm ready to receive my church. Live like the end is near. We've had the enjoyment of living like we got more time. Now this week is election Sunday. Tuesday. Sorry, I'm having a Joe Biden moment. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. But so it's Tuesday. And I'm not running for Senate. But I don't, it doesn't matter. Listen, I don't care who you vote for. That's whoever you vote for, if you think that your security and your safety depends on a person that you vote for, we've missed it. We've missed it. God is in control. We'll talk about that next Sunday, because some of you are going to be bummed out and some of you are going to be happy, and hopefully we'll all understand that God is in control. He's in control. He's in control. We got to live like the end is near. I guess the band is, it's like the Grammys. I'm done. I still got more notes. Sorry. No, go ahead and play. Go ahead and play. Go ahead and play. Roll that beautiful bean footage. Do it. Verse 12, Jesus says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Because of all the wickedness in the world, the love of most will grow cold. Not the love of all, because we're the church. And at the core of who we are is love. And our response to everything going on around us is live like the end is near, but also love like you're near the end. Love like you're near the end. It's so easy to let things get so deep under our skin. Here's what happens when there's no love. When there's no love in someone's heart, offense takes hold. Offense takes hold. And see, love enables me to overlook offense. That's why I've stayed married for almost 31 years. Because love has helped her to overlook my weaknesses. But love enables us to overlook offenses. But when there's no love, people get offended. Man, we live in an offended world, don't we? Everybody's offended about everything. Listen, the next time you feel offense, check your love meter. What's going on in there? What's going on in there? Because it enables us to overlook offense. I wrote this little jingle. You can maybe help you remember. When love grows cold, offense takes hold. We get offended. And our response to all this is live like the end is near. Love like you're near the end. The eighth sign, and I'm going to rip through this. The gospel of the kingdom is preached around the world. We live in an exciting, exciting time. I don't know if you realize this, but we support a lot of missionaries in this church. And they are all around the world preaching the gospel. The Church of Jesus Christ is alive and well around the world. We have technology that the gospel is preached in every language. And Jesus said, when that happens, when it's preached in the whole world, get ready. The end is coming. This thing's getting wrapped up. He's wrapping it up. But our response and the way we live is we live like the end is near. We love like we're near the end. We don't take offense. We don't give in to all that stuff. And even though we see it happening around us, don't allow it to seep into your hearts. Man, if I could, you know, I don't know how much longer, honestly, and I'm not trying to be doomsday, you know, I don't know how much longer we're going to be able as pastors to just be able to honestly preach the truth. But if I could just tell you, don't let that stuff get inside of your heart. Be the church. We started this whole thing out in our worship talking about Jesus. It's just about Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. When he's in our life, when he's in our hearts, love is present. It's alive. And we can be that salt and that light. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? Can we sing that? Is that what you're playing? Come on, can we sing it?
Give me Jesus.